chapter 6, and verse number 4 in this chapter is basically our text verse for the sermon. And the name of the sermon is in Ephesians 6, 4, 5. And let me just tell you why I'm preaching this sermon on this verse specifically. I remember that when I was about to become a father, you know, before you're becoming a father, you kind of think you have everything figured out. It's going to be really easy. And I got this all figured out. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to do this and this and this. And my son's going to grow up and be the smartest kid and most athletic and everything. But, you know, then all of a sudden, once you start getting closer to that day, you start thinking, oh, wow, what about this? What about this? What about this? And there's a lot of lessons to learn each and every passing week. Every father in this room can tell you that. And so I remember, though, this verse specifically was a big comfort to me because it really boils down to what it means to be a good father. And honestly, this sermon's really going to be really simple because I don't want to make it too complex. You know, obviously, you can preach sermons and go really in-depth on all the things you need to do. But if you want to be a good father, there's really just two things mentioned in this verse. We're going to look at 4 points, but it's really not that complicated. You know, yes, you're going to make mistakes as a dad. No, you're not going to be perfect. But, you know, if you just provide a few basic things for your kids, you're going to do a good job. And I want you to notice here in verse number 4 how it says, "Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." And the first point is simply this, that there is a responsibility of the father to raise their kids. Okay? Notice how it says, provoke not your children to wrath. This is in the imperative form, the command form. This is something God is telling you. He says, don't provoke your children to wrath. See, there is a responsibility on the fathers to raise those kids. If God has blessed you with children, he expects you to raise them. Okay? This does not just mean that, yes, you make the money, you provide, you come home and you ignore your kids and don't spend any time with them. No, that would be going against what the Bible says here. Because the Bible says that you have a personal responsibility to raise those kids. It's not just your wife, it's also you as the father. Now turn to Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22. And so what we saw in Ephesians 6, it says, provoke not, and it also says, bring them up, okay? These are things that are commands. They're in the imperative form. It's something God is commanding you to do. It's not optional. It's a command, okay? God commands you to be responsible for those kids and to do a few things. Notice what it says in Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And so in this verse, it says, train up a child. Once again, this is a command. It's in the imperative form. You are to train up your children. Now, yes, this is for both men and women, husbands and wives, fathers and mothers, but obviously we're preaching to fathers here as it's Father's Day. And, you know, what the Bible says is this, that you are supposed to train your children. And the promise is that when they're old, they will not depart from it. You know, there's this kind of attitude that goes along with everything in life where if things don't work out, it's always just an accident. It's always just kind of random that it happens. It's not my fault. You know, if your kids all grow up and they're all a bunch of drunks and drug addicts, hey, it's not my fault. I did everything that I could do. But see, Bible says in Proverbs 22, verse 6, that if you train up your children in the way of the Lord and in the right way, they will not depart from it if they grow old. That's what the Bible says. Right. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 2. 1 Thessalonians 2. And when it comes to the most basic thing, I mean, obviously you should get your kids saved if you're saved. What's amazing is that a lot of times people's kids grow up, and they grow up in a Baptist church, and they just kind of assume, well, you know, my son heard the gospel like a million times at church. You know, I'm sure he got saved. He prayed that prayer when he was 5 years old. And a lot of people's kids grow up, and they don't even get saved.
That's right.
I mean, that's the most basic thing.
Right.
And that's something they can understand. You know, they can understand a gift. They can understand these things. It's pretty basic. And yet, a lot of times, parents just kind of leave the responsibility of preaching the gospel to just being at church and hoping to get it. It's like, I would hope that you take that responsibility upon yourself.
Right.
Because I know how thankful I was when I got saved, and I certainly want to pass on that message to my child.
Right.
First and foremost.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, oftentimes kids grow up in independent, fundamental Baptist churches. They never get saved, they become reprobates, and they hate the Lord.
Right. Yeah.
That is so common.
Yep.
How many Baptist pastors' kids do you see do that exact thing? It happens all the time. They don't even get their kids saved. Look, that's the most basic thing to teach your kids.
Yeah.
is about salvation. But I guess if you're never around them and you're spending all your time with other people instead of your kids, then maybe that could end up happening. Mm-hmm. You see, the Bible says you are to train up your children. It does not say the public school system.
Yeah.
Right.
It does not say daycare. It says, no, you are to train up your children. The husband and the wife, the mom and the dad, they pair together to raise their kids. Okay? Now turn to 1 Thessalonians 2. 1 Thessalonians 2. And notice what it says in verse number 11. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. Okay? So what Paul the Apostle says is that basically we did the same thing as a father would do to his children. Now, I have no doubt that Paul the Apostle probably led a lot of these people to the Lord. And if not leading a lot to the Lord, I'm sure he trained them from being kind of baby Christians and helped teach them the Word of God, helped them grow spiritually. And so when you lead someone to the Lord and you help train and teach them the Word of God, you're basically their spiritual father. And you're training that child. And so what the Bible says here in verse 11, though, as a father doth his children. See, a father is supposed to exhort and comfort and charge their children. Okay? That's what the Bible says.
Right.
The responsibility is always put upon the father, upon the mother, upon the parents. Okay?
Right.
Now, there's this famous quote by Hillary Clinton where she said, it takes, I think she wrote a book, and it was called, It Takes a Village to Raise a Child. Basically, you know, you can't just have mom and dad. You know, you need the whole village, the whole town. We all just get together and just agree together on should we vaccinate your kids. We agree together on are they going to be in the public school system or homeschool. We agree together to raise these kids because mom and dad are not capable of raising their own kids. That's what she was saying. Basically that, you know what, you're not capable, you need the public school system, you need the daycare, you need all these other things. No, I believe that if God has blessed you with children, then that means you have the ability to raise those kids.
Right.
And those kids were given to you. They were not given to some reprobate politician.
Right.
And okay? They weren't given to the public school system. No, they were given to you to raise those kids.
Yep.
Yeah.
And look, that should be something that we should be excited about. As fathers, as mothers, if God has blessed you with children, God has given you children to raise.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the truth. If you don't take that responsibility seriously, it's very unlikely those kids are going to turn out right.
Yeah.
Right.
If you don't take the time and the effort to raise those kids, then you know what? Who knows what's going to happen? So you say, well, they're in church. Hey, Brother Stuck, you preach hard against sin. You teach how we need to read the Bible and go soberly. Surely my kids will turn out right if they're just in church. No, that's not what the Bible says.
Yeah.
Right.
And look throughout the Bible at godly people whose kids did not turn out right. You say, why? Well, they probably just didn't spend enough time with them.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason why. The responsibility is upon us as fathers. Now, you might be in this room and you might say, how does this sermon apply to me? I'm a mom. I'm not, you know, a father, though. Well, I mean, if you want your husband to do a good job raising your kids, then you need to be a good mom and a good wife. And that's going to make his job a lot easier. If you're a single guy in this room or you don't have any kids yet, this is good information for you to know ahead of time on how to be a good father.
Right.
I mean, you want to be prepared when you do stuff.
Right.
But you would not step into a boxing match with someone who is trained if you have no experience.
Right. Yeah.
That would be foolish. It doesn't matter how strong you are. If you have no experience, not going to do very well. And there's nothing more important than raising your kids. And so if you're going to raise your kids, you want to be prepared ahead of time for that. Or you might be a young lady in this room, and as you're hearing a sermon about what it means to be a good father, hey, marry somebody who's actually going to fit what this says.
Right.
Yeah.
Make the right choices there. Now, turning your Bible back to Ephesians 6. And in Ephesians 6, I want you to see our second point. One thing the Bible tells us we need to provide to our children as fathers, it says that you are to nurture your children. It says, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So basically, bring them up in the nurture of the Lord. Okay? And so when you say nurture, this implies that you're actually spending time and caring about your kids. You're nurturing them. Now turn to 1 Thessalonians 2. 1 Thessalonians 2. And in the Bible, you'll see the word nurse. And in the Bible, when you see nurse, it's basically someone who's taking care of a young baby. Okay? She was the nurse to that child, the Bible will say. And so when it says first in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, it gives us more insight on that. Where it says in verse 7, But we are gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. And see, as a nurse, or even as a mom that would raise their young babies, they cherish that child. Okay? But this is not just something for the wife and the mom to do. This is something for the husband to cherish that child as well, to nurture that child, to spend time with that child. One thing that we see is that sometimes people have this attitude that it's just the mom's responsibility to spend time with that child and to care about that child. That is not what the Bible teaches.
Right.
And look, if you're a husband that just never spends time with your kids, you're teaching your child that you don't really care about them.
Yeah.
That's what you're telling them. If you come home from work and all you do is sit around on TV or YouTube all day, and you never spend any time with your kids, you're telling your kids that, you know what, YouTube is more important than them.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, because honestly, online preaching could be a problem here, because if all you do is listen to online preaching and never spend any time with your kids, you're basically teaching your kids that that is more important than them. But what's going to happen, that child is probably going to rebel against God.
Right.
Why? Because in their mind, God is basically taking them away from spending time with their kids. And so, you know, you have to realize that if you have kids, look, you need to do more than just listen to sermons.
Right.
When you come home. When you have kids, you need to do more than just go home and read your Bible. Yes, you need to read your Bible, but you need to spend time with your children.
Right.
So don't just come home and never spend any time with them. And what's going to happen is they're going to end up rebelling against you, and they're not going to love you, they're not going to care about you. Why? Because you never spend any time for them. One thing that you see often with parents is that when parents are raising their kids, they spend all of their lives trying to make money. And then they reach a point where they're near retirement, and they think they're going to just spend all this time with their children. The children don't want to spend time with their parents at that point.
Right.
You say, why? Well, because you never had any time for me. I'm busy with work now. Why would I make time for you? I see that so often. And it's like parents are shocked, and it's like, do you not remember that you didn't spend any time with your kids? And you wonder why your kids don't want to spend any time with you. Look, it's not rocket science. If you didn't spend time with them growing up, if you didn't have time to go to their basketball game, you didn't have time to, you know, just, you know, play catch in the park or whatever, or go out on a walk with them, why would they want to spend lots of time with you as they get older? And that's what we see a lot of times happen. Turn to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. And what it says in Ephesians 5, verse 28, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. And see, the Bible says here about nourishing and cherishing your own body. And look, every guy out there, they're going to try to take care of their own body. They're going to do what, you know, is important to them and what they think is beneficial to them. You know, we care about our own bodies, okay? And see, it says nourish it and cherish it. That's the same thing we're supposed to provide to our children. And if we're to care about ourselves, we should do the exact same thing for our children as well. Turn to Psalms 103. Psalms 103. Now, I'll tell you what, this sermon is encouraging because it's pretty simple. Because basically the first point we have is just that you spend time with your children, which... you don't have to study calculus for 5 years to figure out how to be a good father.
Right?
I mean, spend time with your children. That's pretty simple, but it's not easy.
Right?
That's the way it is in the Christian life. Things are simple to understand. God doesn't make it hard to understand what we need to do, but it's not easy to do.
Yeah.
Because when you work 8, 9, 10 hours in a day, you come home, guess what? You're tired.
Right.
It's a lot easier to just stay home and just turn on YouTube and just be like, oh, you know, I'm just tired, I'm exhausted. But look, there's going to be permanent repercussions if you do that.
Yeah.
If you don't spend time with those kids, and one day you will regret that. You're gonna have all this time you want to spend with your kids as they get older, and you know what? They're not going to have any time with you.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it's going to work. I know so many situations like this. You see people, once they get older, they start having kids, and then the parents want to spend a lot of time with their grandkids. But, you know, if they never spend any time with their own kids, you know, the new parents are just like, you know, why would I want to spend time with them now? That happens all the time. Now, in Psalm 23, verse 12, or verse 11, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. The Bible talks about God being very merciful to us. And verse number 12 is a great proof of eternal security, as it says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. If you start going east on a global earth, because it is a spherical earth,
man,
you start going east, you're still going east, you're still going east, you're still going east, you're still going east. Guess what? You never start going west.
Yep.
See, as far as the east is from the west, as you go east and west never meet. What is it saying? It's saying that your transgressions are permanently gone from you when you're saved. Once saved, always saved. It teaches that in the Old Testament and the New Testament.
Man.
East and west, they never meet. Okay? Then it says in verse number 13, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. And see, verse 12 talked about eternal security, once saved, always saved, that when you're a child of God, you will always be a child of God. And it talks about God pitying us. See, no matter how much we rebel against God, if we were to tell God, you know, I hate you, God, I don't want you to be my father anymore, I don't want to be saved or whatever, look, you would still be saved. No matter what you do, you're still going to be saved and a child of God no matter what. No matter if you committed murder, you'd still be saved.
Yeah.
Because it's eternal life. No matter if you committed adultery, you'd still be saved. There's nothing that you can do to separate that bond.
Right.
And what the Bible's trying to drive home here in verse number 13 is that we ought to pity our children in the same way. As much as they might mess up, as much as they might make us mad, you know, realize, for one, God has forgiven you for a whole lot.
Right.
I mean, if your son does not clean his room because he doesn't want to, that's not as bad as a million things that you've done in your life. And see, as God pities us and forgives us, and we're still his child, we ought to have the same love towards our own kids. And look, nothing can change the fact that you are physically the father of that child. But, you know, there's a way that you can actually act like a father and not act like a father. And just choosing to reject your children and never spending time with them, you're basically not acting like a father. If those kids were given to you, you're expected to spend time with them and to raise them. Now, turn back to Ephesians 6. And remember what it said, the nurture of the Lord. Remember how the Lord nurtures us and cares about us. God is very merciful to us. God truly does care about us. And you know, we ought to have the same love towards our own kids. And I'll tell you what, you say, I want my son to grow up, or I want my daughter to grow up and to love God. Well, you know, the first picture of a father in their life is you as a father.
Right.
And if you are a bad father, it's going to cause them not to really think too highly of their heavenly father.
Yeah.
Right. See, if you act as a good father and you're a good example of Christ, then your kids are going to understand that. And they're going to try to be, look, if you teach your kids to be obedient to you and you love them and you care about them, they're going to want to be obedient to God. But, you know, if you're not loving to them, you know, you don't teach them to obey, as they grow up, they're probably not going to obey their other powers in their life, which is God and then other, you know, governmental authorities and whatever, because, you know, they never listened to your rules and obeyed you. Okay? And it starts with actually providing time with them. Notice what it says in Ephesians 6:4. It says, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And so basically, there's really only two things you need to provide. You basically spend time and deeply care about your kids, and you provide admonition. Okay, you admonish them, you instruct them. That includes spanking, telling them when they messed up. Okay, now these things go hand in hand. If you only do one, if all you do is spend time with your kids, but you never admonish them, you never discipline them, you never correct them when they've done something wrong, they're going to grow up and be a spoiled brat.
Right.
That's what's going to take place. But some people can go the other way. They can basically say, no, you know, they can spank their kids and, you know, always correct them and be mad at them and everything like that. But if they never actually spend any time with their kids are not going to feel much love from their parents.
Oh, yeah.
And once again, they're going to rebel as well. You need both of these things together. If you only have one, it's not going to be that great. You need both of these things. They work hand in hand. Ephesians 6:4 says in the admonition of the Lord. Turn to 1 Timothy 1. 1 Timothy 1. Now, part of the admonition when it comes to being parents is to spank your kids.
Yeah.
Okay? Look, the Bible says foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. care, you know, you say, oh, my son's perfect, my daughter's perfect. No, they're not. Right. No child is perfect. Foolishness is bound in the heart of the child. But we are, as parents, expected to correct them by spanking them. That is what the Bible teaches. Okay? And if you never do that, your kid's going to be basically a rebellious kid that doesn't respect authority. Okay? But remember, it says admonition of the Lord. See, as much as God is merciful to us, and as much as he cherishes us and cares about us, when we choose to rebel against him, God does get angry with us. And God does discipline us. It's not that he just sends unbelievers down to hell. No, I mean, if you're a child of God and you break God's rules, look, you're going to reap what you sow.
Right.
That's what the Bible says. And that's what it says in 1 Timothy 1, verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful in putting me into ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And so what Paul the Apostle says is that God was very merciful to him because he did it ignorantly in unbelief. Okay? Now, as much as is possible, as parents, we need to teach our kids. What we have to understand is that if our kids do something wrong and we have not really instructed them, we need to be merciful to them.
Right.
Okay? Look, kids cause problems all the time. They just grab papers and just rip them and throw them on the floor. But look, if you've never actually instructed them, then honestly, they don't deserve a spanking.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. And look, you know, it's easy as a parent, every time that you get mad at your kids, to just spank them. But look, if you did not teach them, then you can't expect them to do things right.
Right.
They didn't even realize they're doing anything wrong.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, there's a time to spank, but there's also a time to be merciful. And just because you get frustrated with your kid does not mean your child deserves spanking. Because if you have not accurately told your child what to do and what not to do, then you cannot expect them to understand it. Now, honestly, it's tough sometimes as a parent. Because sometimes your kids get into trouble and you get pretty frustrated. And you know, your natural reaction is to want to spank them, you're frustrated, but you have to ask yourself if you actually taught them beforehand. You know, one example with my sister is very good at this, she's very merciful. And there was a time when my oldest nephew, when he was a child, he basically just took a jar of spaghetti sauce and just smashed it on the ground. There's just spaghetti sauce stained everywhere. And my sister did not spank. Now, my sister and my brother-in-law spanked their kids a lot. But they did not spank their son for that. And the reason why is because they had not told him. They had not told him not to play with the stuff in the kitchen or whatever, and they did not spank. And that shows great restraint. But honestly, as parents, you know what? We need to show that restraint. Now, what you do in that situation, though, is you take your child and make it very clear to them that if you do that again, you're going to get a spanking.
Right.
But yeah, you know what? You do need to be merciful. Why? Well, God's merciful to us when we do things ignorantly in unbelief. Okay? There's a lot of things we mess up and we don't even realize it's wrong. And like, if our kids do not know something is wrong, if we haven't made it clear, then honestly, we should not spank them. Now, look, there are things, though, that you tell your children no a million times, and they do not listen to you. They do not obey you. That is what you say. My son, especially when he was younger, he loved playing with light sockets. And he would just always like to touch light sockets, and just, I don't know what it is with kids and light sockets. They just like to, they'll just grab a spoon or a fork and just try to jam it in there. And it's like, you know, he got a lot of spankings for that. You know, we told him no, and he would constantly do it. And he gets spanked for it. And you say, you know, why do the kids do these things? Look, they don't understand the harm and the danger of these things.
Yeah.
My son really liked to play with our fan at home. And, you know, we told him a lot, and he got spanked for it a lot. And, you know, there was one time that he, you know, I don't remember what he had, like he had a ruler or a pencil or something like that, and he kind of stuck it into the fan. And he starts screaming and crying. He was really scared, because obviously, you know, if you put that in the fan, what's going to happen? And it's like, you know, that's why you have to tell your kids no, because they don't get it. Now, he has not touched the fan since then, so obviously he learned his lesson. But what I'm trying to tell you is this, that first we have to teach our kids what's right and wrong. And you can't just spank them if they're unaware. Okay, that is not easy as a parent. Anyone who's a parent in this room will tell you that it's very easy to just spank your child when you're upset. You know, when they make you mad, but you have to honestly think, have you taught your children? And so this honestly goes back to cherishing your children and actually spending time with them, because it takes time to teach your kids right from wrong. Look, when your child does something you don't want, you know, they touch a light socket, it takes time
to tell your child no. It takes time to make it clear to them that it's wrong. And look, that happens throughout the day. You just want to relax, you're just trying to eat dinner, they do something foolish. You have to stop and take the time to tell your child why it's wrong. And if you do not do that, do not be surprised if they end up making that claim. They do not know any better. Now, turn to Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. And so honestly, this is a tough balance because there are certain things that my son knows very clearly are right and wrong. And honestly, once you have kids, you're going to find out that sometimes they just don't care. And even though they know something's wrong and mom told them no, dad told them no, they've been spanked for it before, curiosity gets the better of a lot of young kids. And they will still choose to do it anyway. Then there are other things where our child maybe knows that we don't want him to do it. And it's kind of a tough line where, you know, maybe we'll give him one warning that day before he gets spanked if he does it again. But oftentimes, you warn the child, and then 5 minutes later, they do the exact same thing. It's like, that's when you have to spank your child, because they're just choosing to disobey you. And there's also other things that maybe you haven't specifically told your child is wrong, but they understand the principle they already know. Let me give you an example. When I was growing up, you know, I played sports a lot, and so during the winter time in West Virginia, there's snow and ice outside. So basically, you're indoors most of the day. So basically, I was kicking a soccer ball in the living room, dribbling a basketball in the living room, you know, throwing a football over the couch and diving it, catching it, and doing these things. And so, you know, my parents would often say, you know, no kicking a soccer ball in the house. So 2 minutes later, I'd have a basketball, dribbling a basketball. And so obviously, you know, I understood that they didn't want me to do that as well, but I chose to just be rebellious. But I remember one time when I was a kid, my cousin and my aunt and my uncle were visiting, and I remember we were playing football in the living room. Playing like one-on-one or something like that, and I don't remember how it happened, but we broke the lamp, okay? Now, my parents had not specifically told me, no playing football with your cousin in the living room, okay? But I was already very aware that they didn't want me to do that. So obviously, that's an example where you would spank your children when they do something like that. But all I'm trying to tell you is this, that when it comes to providing admonition, realize God is merciful when you do it ignorantly and unbelief.
Right.
But if you know it's wrong and you choose to do it anyway, it's going to be much less merciful. And it should be the same thing with us as parents as well. Proverbs 23, verse 13. It says in verse 13, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Now, these are verses that the liberal media tries to demonize. Yeah.
Right.
Look, the Bible says, beat him with the rod. That's what it says.
Right.
Now look, that doesn't say beat him with the rod on the face. It doesn't say beat him with the rod, you know, on the back. No, obviously there's a given spot God has given, where basically you spank your child. There's extra padding, and it hurts, but it doesn't injure. Okay? We're not talking about injuring your child.
Right.
We're not talking about you punch your child. We're not talking about, you know, you bite your child or whatever. What we're talking about, you discipline that God has provided. Okay? Now the truth is that God has given us a set pattern of how to discipline our kids. And quite honestly, people that want to reject spanking, they will try all these weird new techniques. And honestly, they're far worse for a child than just spanking your children.
Right.
See, the good thing with spanking your child is that when your child acts up, they immediately get spanked, and they know exactly what they did that was wrong, why they got punished. And then it's over 5 minutes later.
Right.
When I spank my child, it's literally a few minutes later, and guess what? He hugs me. Every single time. That's the way it works. Okay? But look, if you come up with some other weird method of punishment and just drag it out or something like that, that's not what the Bible talks about. The Bible speaks about spanking your children.
Amen.
Okay? And the world wants to get rid of spanking, but you know, those same parents that want to get rid of spanking, they'll try all these new techniques. Why? If you don't spank your children, kids are going to act up.
Right. Yeah.
Look, you go to public places sometimes, and you see a child that's just being super rebellious.
Mm-hmm.
Now look, all kids are rebellious, okay? If you're not a parent in this room, you're going to find that out tonight. All kids act up to some degree. I'm not saying that they can never do anything wrong, because all kids do things wrong. Look, you know, when we were kids, we didn't think that were wrong.
Right.
But you know, there's some kids that you see that are just, like, they'll slap their mom in the face. They'll slap their dad in the face. and the parents don't even thank them. And it's like, what in the world are you doing? But see, that's what's going to happen if you do not discipline your kids when you act up. They're going to start to rule over you, and they're going to grow up, and they're going to go to prison one day.
Mm-hmm.
Because they do not respect authority at all, because you did not do a good job of raising those kids. Now, turn back to Ephesians 6. And so basically, that was our third point. The two things you need to remember from this sermon are basically, as a father, what you need to do is spend time with your children and to admonish them, correct them, teach them discipline that when necessary. Now, look, that's not complicated. Spend time with them and correct them. That's pretty simple. Now, if you do these two things, you're doing a good job as a father. Okay? Now, obviously, there's a million things we should do as a father, and other things that will make you better at being a father, but honestly, it really boils down to those two things. Okay? And look, you know, I don't care if your child ends up learning like a dozen languages, they're an expert at math, they're taking calculus when they're like 10 years old or whatever. If you never spend any time with them, it doesn't matter how smart your child is, you did a bad job as well. That's what God teaches. Now look, obviously, we want our kids to be intelligent, we want them to be good workers, we want them to learn all these other things, but look, you know, if you don't spend any time with them, it doesn't really matter about all these other things. Okay? You need to spend time with your children. Now, obviously, when it comes to being a part of a church, one of the great things to do is spend time as a family at church and soul winning together, singing the hymns, reading the Bible, doing things such as that. Okay? And, you know, honestly, in today's world, most people will stick their kids in front of a television or a computer all day long.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all they do. They don't teach their kids at all. They have no clue what their kids are watching. They have no clue what their kids are hearing. And they're being brainwashed by the world.
Right.
And they don't think about it. And they just kind of figure, well, I'm taking them to church, they're going to be okay. No, I mean, not if you just let them be brainwashed by the world.
Yeah.
They have to actually spend time with them. And so, look, just having your child in front of TV all day, look, that is not going to be beneficial to them. And it's not going to cause them to love you. Your children are going to love you when you spend time with them. Okay? But look, I'll tell you what, when you're a child, obviously, you know, you love video games and TV and all these exciting things. But I'll tell you what, when you grow older, you really appreciate that your parents actually spend time with you.
Right? Yeah.
I really appreciate the fact that, you know, my mom was a stay-at-home mom, and my parents spent a lot of time with us. And we would always do things as a family together. We'd eat dinner as a family together. We'd play cards as a family together. We actually did stuff together. But in today's world, with all the gadgets and the computers and the TVs, it's very easy to say we're spending quality time when you're not talking to each other.
Right.
You don't know anything about your kids. They don't know anything about you. And you know, you're just watching TV together. No, I mean, that's not what you see in the Bible. You're supposed to spend active time with your children. Ephesians 6, verse 4. And I want you to see the last point is this, that if you do not take the responsibility upon yourself, you are probably going to provoke your children. Ephesians 6, verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. See, the secret to not having your kids provoked to wrath is to spend time with your kids and correct them. See, if you're missing one of those things, you're going to provoke them to wrath. Okay? You say, why would I provoke them to wrath if I don't spend time with them? It's going to provoke them to wrath or extreme anger, because they're upset that they have a father that doesn't really love them that much.
Right, yeah.
They have a mom that doesn't really love them that much. They have parents that don't spend much time. And when they see other parents spending time with their kids and actually caring about their kids, look, you know, you have your son goes to a basketball game or whatever, and you know what? All the other fathers are there, all the other mothers are there, but your parents aren't there. I mean, how's that going to make you feel? And look, when I was growing up, my parents went to all my soccer games, but there were plenty of kids whose parents didn't go to the soccer games. They weren't there to actually see their kids. Now, when you have children, one thing you're going to notice is they're always trying to impress their parents.
Right.
Right.
They're always trying to do that. And sometimes they're getting into problems, but they're trying to impress you. And they'll try to do something, and they'll look back to see if you're watching. They'll be kicking something or doing whatever, and they look back to see if you're watching. Why? They're trying to make you happy.
Right.
That's what they're doing.
Right.
And look, you know, if the parents are just kind of like, well, you know, I never really watched my son play, I never spent time with him, look, you're going to provoke your child to wrath.
Yeah.
He's going to be upset that his father's not spending time with him. Okay? Look, you know, time is more valuable
Right.
Now, obviously, as fathers, we need to provide financially, and that's another sermon. I've preached that before. I'm just showing you what Ephesians 6 will talk about. Obviously, we have to work hard, and you know, it's difficult to work a lot of hours and then come home and spend time with your kids. And quite honestly, you know, we might have to make some sacrifices in our lives. We might have to cut out some hobbies. We might have to have a little bit less sleep. That's just reality. But you know, honestly, it's worth it to have a little bit less sleep and be tired a lot if your kids grow up and they actually love you. Yeah. Because if you don't spend the time, it's going to provoke your wrath and your kids will not love you. That's the way it's going to work. Okay? But it also says that we have to bring up the admonition of the Lord. And if we don't do that, we're going to provoke our children to wrath as well. And so you have to understand this, that if you do not discipline and instruct your kids, what's going to happen is they're going to be disrespectful to you, and they're going to embarrass you all the time in public. And you're going to have to deal with it. Because honestly, when your child slaps you on the face in public, it's like, it's pretty embarrassing. You're going to do something to deal with that, and it's going to end up being a big fight. And look, you could have fixed that. And they're going to be embarrassed that they're being instructed or corrected in public. Look, you would have been better off just doing that at home.
Right, yeah.
Look, if you fight those battles privately, you won't have to fight them publicly.
Right.
But if you do not fight those battles privately, you will have to fight them publicly. Okay? Now look, all kids act up. My son is not perfect. He does a lot of things wrong. He has a lot of spankings. Okay? All kids, they act up. I'm not saying my son is perfect. But what I'm saying is this, that, you know, all of us, including myself, we need to try to correct them at home. Because if we don't do that, they're going to end up being rebellious. And guess what? They're going to disrespect authority. They'll be fired from jobs. They'll talk back to their boss. They'll talk back to policemen. They could get arrested. Look, if they don't respect you as an authority, they're not going to respect me at home.
Yeah.
You want to teach them to respect authority at a young age, so they'll respect God and also the other authorities in life. Because if you're not respectful, then you know what? You're not going to do a very good job at work. Not going to do a very good job in society because we have authorities over us. Okay, we can't all be the president of this country. Okay? We can't all be, you know, high level governors and senators. Okay, we're not in those positions. And so you know what? Honestly, we need to learn our kids to respect authority at a young age. Now turn to 2 Samuel 13. 2 Samuel 13. Now let me explain something to you, that no parent wants to provide the admonition and spanking their children. Look, it's not fun to spank your children. Nobody likes doing that. I would rather just hug my child and spend time with little Zeb and things like that. But honestly, you know what? There's both of those responsibilities that you have to do. We would all love to just not have to instruct them at all and they'd be perfect children. But look, it doesn't matter how much they read the Bible, how much they go soul winning, they're going to make mistakes. And they're going to deserve spanking from time to time. Now in 2 Samuel 13, notice what it says in verse 24. And Absalom came to the king and said, "Behold now, thy servant hath sheep shears. Let the king, I beseech thee, and his servants go with thy servant." Now this is going to be the famous story where Absalom ends up killing Amnon. But I want you to notice in verse 24, because people don't often talk about this. He asks his father, "If I beseech thee," and his, it says in verse 24, "Let the king, I beseech thee, and his servants go with thy servant." He's asking the king and his brothers. He's asking his father and his brothers to go with him. Okay? He's not just asking Amnon. He's asking his father and all of his brothers to go with him. Say, why is he asking all of his father and all of his brothers to go? Look, in this story, if you read closely, Absalom wants to kill his father. That is what's taking place. Remember, he tries to take the throne just a little bit later on. So what's the best way to attack someone? Attack when they don't suspect it. And so Absalom, who's going to try to kill David later on, in verse 24, says, "Let the king, I beseech thee, and his servants go with thy servant." He's saying, "I want you, David, and my brothers to come with me." He's asking, he's acting real nice. Why? Well, he wants to kill all of them, because he wants to take the throne. That's what's taking place in verse 24. Verse 25, "And the king said to Absalom, Nay, my son, let us not all now go, lest we be charged one of them. And he pressed him, how he would not go, but blessed him." So David's telling Absalom, "Nay, we're not all going to go." So basically, Absalom wants his father to come. Why? Well, he wants to kill him as he does Amnon, so he can take the throne. Okay? doesn't break me, and David says no. It's like we're not all going to go. Okay? Verse number 26. Then said Absalom, if not I pray thee, let my brother Amnon go with us. And the king said, Amnon, why should he go with thee? But Absalom pressed him, and he let Amnon and all the king's sons go with him. So basically David says no. He's like, well, if you're not all going to come, can Amnon come? And eventually he asks and asks and asks, and he says, okay, that's fine. He let Amnon come. And so what ends up happening in the story? Well, Absalom ends up killing Amnon, and he tries to kill the brothers, basically. But he wants to kill his father as well. Why would a son want to kill their father? Look, that's not normal to want to kill your dad.
Right.
Okay? Yeah, children get mad at their parents, but very few children want to kill their parents. The only way a child is going to want to kill their father or their mother one day is if those parents provoke their children's wrath. You say, are you saying David provoked Absalom's wrath? He was not a good father. He was not a good husband, he was not a good father. He was a great man of God, but he was a bad husband and a bad father. Okay? He had several wives. And, you know, honestly, he if you have several wives, you're obviously going to favor some wives over the other wives. Right. And, you know, quite honestly, it ends up, and it's not just Absalom. That's not the only son he provokes to wrath, if you read the story. Okay? Right. Later on, you know, as well, a son tries to kill him and take the throne. So, David was not a very good father. But look, I want you to understand, it's not normal that your child wants to grow up and kill you. That happens if you actively provoked your child to wrath. How did David do that? Well, look, you probably never spent time with his kids.
Right.
That's kind of a given when you're married to lots of wives. He never spent too much time with his kids or with his wives individually. And honestly, he never really corrected his children. And so what ends up happening? Well, his child ends up growing up being a murderer, trying to take the throne, trying to kill. That's what ends up happening. Turn to Colossians 3. Colossians 3. That's pretty extreme to want to actually kill your father. I mean, I can't even imagine trying to do something like that. You know, obviously, there's been times, you know, I was frustrated with my dad, but the thought of killing my father has never come into my mind whatsoever. Okay. Now, this really isn't that related to something, but I just kind of thought of something. I remember I was taught in school. They consider Sigmund Freud to be the greatest psychiatrist, psychoanalyst of all time. There's Sigmund Freud. In school, you always hear about Sigmund Freud and all the great things he did. Sigmund Freud taught that all kids want to kill their fathers. All sons want to kill their fathers because they secretly want to be married to their moms. That's what Sigmund Freud taught. Okay? You say, well, the Bible's crazy and all this. Yeah, the Bible's crazy? It's like, I'm sorry, but that's not a normal thought for someone to want to kill their father and be married to their mom. Okay, now don't raise your hands if you've ever thought that. Like, I'm sure nobody in this room has ever thought that. That's what Sigmund Freud thought. And look, the world's going to mock us for the things we teach. They'll protest, they'll mock us, they say we're crazy for the beliefs we take. Oh, the Bible's so outdated. And Sigmund Freud? That's what you're teaching in school?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, what a joke. That sounds like the mind of a reprobate.
Right.
That's like the mind of a weirdo.
Yep.
Okay? That's what he taught. Look, the world is always going to come in contrast with what the Bible says.
That's true.
The Bible makes perfect sense. The wisdom of this world is foolishness with God.
Amen. Right?
And the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God's people if they know what the Bible says. Colossians 3, verse 21. This is actually a parallel verse to Ephesians 6, verse 4. And it says, verse 21, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Colossians 3, verse 21 says, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Okay? So why does it say discouraged? Here's what you have to understand with kids at a young age. Kids want their parents to love them.
Yep.
Kids want to grow up and be just, your son is going to want to grow up and be just like father.
Right.
That's what it is. Your son, at a young age, when my son's like 4 or 5 years old, he's going to think I'm the greatest, the smartest person in the world, the greatest fighter in the world, the greatest at everything in the world. Why? That's naturally built into kids.
Yep.
That's what they think about their parents. That's what they're going to think about mom and dad.
Right.
And look, they want to impress their parents. And look, what ends up happening, though, is if you don't spend time, you don't correct them. Because look, when you correct your child, you spank your child, honestly, what you're usually seeing, what I've noticed, is my son is more upset that he disappointed me usually.
Right. Right.
He feels real bad. That's why they're going to hug you, and they feel real bad. They feel upset that, you know, oh, no, I did something, and they're worried that you're really mad at them. They don't want you to be mad at them.
Right.
Now, they'll be upset for about, like, 45 seconds. But I remember when I first really gave my son a spanking, and it was really encouraging to me that 2 minutes later, he comes over and gives me a hug. He's basically apologizing. That's what he's basically doing. What you have to understand, though, is that if you don't do what you're supposed to do, you're going to discourage your kids. And eventually, it ends up being full of anger and wrath.
Right.
Because at a young age, they just want to impress mom and dad. And, you know, the only way that you're going to go wrong is if you don't do your job as a father to spend time with them. Now, turn to one last place. Proverbs 17, verse 6. Proverbs 17, verse 6. And in Proverbs 17, verse 6, what Bob reads is this. Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of the children are their fathers. So the Bible talks about basically the value and the importance and, you know, having children, how great it is to have children. The Bible talks about when you're an old man, as you get old. Now, look, in this room, the majority of the fathers are pretty young fathers. You know, the kids are pretty young fathers. And this is stuff we don't think about. We don't really think about what's my life going to be like when I'm, you know, twice my age. What's my life going to be like when I'm 60, 70, 80 years old? What you have to understand is this, that when we do what's right as a parent, our kids will grow up and they will love us if we do what's right. And look, it's going to be pretty sad if you become an older person and your kids don't want to spend any time with you. And they don't love you. And they don't care about you. I've heard people tell stories that are older where they're basically just kind of letting their emotions out. And they just talk about how, well, their son doesn't have any time for them. Their daughter doesn't have any time for them. You know, they never spend time with their grandchildren. You know, their kids never want to talk to them or visit them. They say, well, why is that? Well, the truth is, it's probably not an accident why that happened.
Right.
Honestly, it probably happened because they didn't have time for their kids and those kids were growing up. And as they grow up and they want to spend time with their kids, and they realize their life is, because once you start getting older, you realize, man, I'm not going to be able to accomplish some of the things I wanted. And you're looking back at your kids and hoping they can accomplish what you did. And what's going to end up happening, though, is when they don't want to spend time with you, it's going to make it pretty sad. And I'll tell you what, it's going to take effort for us as fathers. It's not easy for me, it's not easy for any of us to work and yet also spend time and correct our children when necessary. But I'll tell you what, you're going to regret it one day. If 20 years from now, your child grows up and they don't want to have you in their life, you will regret it. Let's all take the time, you guys, and the importance of our children that God has given us, okay? And do our best as fathers to raise those kids. Let's go to the word of prayer.